This CD is brought to you by Agape Word Center Church International, located in the heart of Beltsville at 6728A Industrial Drive, Beltsville, Maryland 20705. Agape is pastored by Pastor Kasana Chongo and Lady C. Now, stay tuned for the word. We hope you will be blessed with this recording.
When we started this year, we started with this passage in 1 Kings chapter number 18. If you missed that first Sunday, the second Sunday, the third Sunday, make sure you get the message. We started with this same passage of scripture. And we started to look at the rebuilding of the altar of the Lord. And we talked about how we need to become people of the altar. That in the year of new beginnings, we must become a people of the altar. Amen. In the year of new beginnings, we must become people of the altar. And when we look at the rebuilding of the altar, we see that Elijah took time to do what? To rebuild the altar of the Lord that had been broken down. Now, I took time to talk about the altar. And we saw how God told them that at the altar is where he would do what? He would come to meet them. And at the altar is where God would come to bless them. So the altar was a meeting place. And we need to understand that there can be no new beginnings unless there is a rebuilding of the altar. Altar in our lives, the altar in our homes, and the altar of the Lord in Agape. Now, and when an altar is laid, is built, God will not come down except you have laid a sacrifice on the altar. And we took time the second week to look at being a living sacrifice. That God desires a sacrifice. God wants a sacrifice. And that sacrifice, that living sacrifice, is you. That no longer now is there a requirement for bulls and gods. But the primary thing, primary need, or primary requirement that God is looking for is a sacrificial sacrifice that is you and me. And we notice that after Elijah built this altar, what did he do? He took a sacrifice and laid it on the altar. We're talking about being a living sacrifice. And last week we moved away and we began to talk about how we need grace to live a life of sacrifice. How we need grace that saves us, the grace that sustains us, the grace that gives us the enablement, the grace that gives us generosity, the grace that lifts us up in life. That we cannot walk into new beginnings and we cannot be a living sacrifice on an altar except by the grace of God. Friends, you notice something here. When he laid the sacrifice on the altar, in verse number 33, the Bible says that he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill four water pots with water. Now, what, if I take you back, what caused this Mount Carmel, confrontation? If you remember, there was a famine in the land. There was no water in the land. So, Elijah is taking that very precious water that they need, and he begins to pour it out. The Bible tells us, when you look at scripture, you find that water is symbolic of the word of God, symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And you notice that the sacrifice was laid, but before the fire fell, there had to be water poured on it. Friends, you may be a living sacrifice, But for the fire to fall over your life, you need the living water of God. You need the word of God in your life. I need the word of God in my life. We need the rivers of living water by which Jesus was saying in John chapter 8, he was speaking symbolically of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who had not yet been poured out because Jesus had not yet been glorified. My friend, my brother, my sister, I'd like to encourage you that it is good to talk about new beginnings. It is good to talk about being a living sacrifice. But if you are not drenched in the Holy Spirit, if you are not soaked in the presence of God, if you are not soaked in the Word of God, you notice he said, fill four water pots and pour it on the burnt sacrifice. They did that. And he said, no. It's not enough. Do it again. The second time. They took four water pots, filled them, and drenched the sacrifice. Soaked it. He said, it's not enough. Do it a third time. What does that tell you? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Fill it, do it a third time. And he had dug a hole around the sacrifice. The water overflowed. There has to be an overflow in your life for the sacrifice to be alive in you. There has to be an overflow, child of God, of the Holy Spirit. There has to be an overflow of the presence of God in your life. That is why many of us, we talk about being living sacrifices, but we are not walking in a place of overflow, and we are not in a place where the fire of God is falling in our lives, because we are not drenched, we are not soaked in the living water. As a living sacrifice, the water of God, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, we must be immersed in the Holy Spirit. We must be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Now, notice this. After they did that, in verse 36, that is when God said, he called the people and he said, come near. Come near. Elijah went to God and he said, let it be known. He had told the people earlier. He said, come near, when he was doing all this. And Elijah now begins to pray. He says, your word is now being fulfilled here. And I want, Lord, for you to do what I had already said, so that it shall be seen that you have turned their hearts back to you. Now, friends, do you remember when Elijah asked the people, how long will you falter between two opinions? Are you here with me? Are you sleeping on me? Do you remember when he said, how long will you falter between two opinions? We read that, right? Do you remember Joshua told the people again in the book of Joshua? He said, choose ye whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we said, God always gives us choices all the time. The people didn't answer him. They did not answer Elijah. They kept quiet. I said, well, let's check it out. You see, when I read that story and I think about you and me today, many times we are very quiet because we're trying to see which way things will go. You know, we are not quick to put ourselves in the forefront as children of God. We are not quick to show ourselves in a place, because we always want to check things out and see what works and what doesn't work. But God is saying, no. How long will you falter between two opinions? Is it God's way or man's way? Is it God's way or Baal's way? The people didn't answer him because they wanted to see. Let me tell you, why did they not answer? If you read the story, it's difficult to just look at this just on 1 Kings. You have to look at this from way back. Understand this. Let me help you. Who was Jezebel's father? Jezebel's father was the high priest of Baal. Ethbaal he was the one, he was the high priest of Baal. And who was Baal? Baal was a demonic god that the people of Israel were worshiping. So these people had been turned to worship idols. They had been turned away from the living God. And they were so used to worshiping idols. Everyone had their own god here and there. In fact, the Bible says that Ahab did even more wickedness than his forefathers. And he was the wickedest king. And the Bible says that as if it was a small thing for him to be a wicked king, he even went and took Jezebel as his wife. Ah! These are kings of Israel who have seen what God has done. And they walk in wickedness. They say, this, as if it is a small thing, they even go and add on the high priest's daughter. It's not enough for me to worship at the demonic altar. I need to take the wife as well and put her in the house. And so this is the position. You see, it looks so easy when we read it and we say, these people, could they not see? But child of God, you and me today, we do the same thing. We look at the word of God, we look at the life, we look at our situations, we look at our conditions, and we look at how things are. And God is always telling us, choose which way. Do you remember there's a scripture in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, he says, chapter 2 or chapter 3, he says, I wish that you were hot or cold. Can you put it up on the screen for me? I wish that you were hot or cold, but because you are neither, how long will you falter between two opinions? He's saying, look, many of you are not for Baal and you are not for God. You are in between. Just in case Baal is God, I better have my foot there in case I miss his blessing. Oh, no, wait a minute. Just in case Jehovah is the Lord, I may miss it. So let me stay in here. How long will you falter between two opinions? And this is what Jesus is saying. He says, I know you. I wish that you were what? I know that you are neither cold or hot. Jesus is saying, I wish you were cold so that you know for yourself that you are not with me. I wish you were hot so that you know for yourself that you are with me. Because Jesus knows who is hot and who is cold. Jesus knows. So, child of God, think about this. When you drink iced tea, look at somebody and ask them, have you ever drank iced tea? Do you drink it cold or warm? Cold. Okay, when you drink hot tea, you drink it what? Hot. When you are given warm, what do you say? Neither here nor there. Okay? It is the same situation. Somebody gives you iced tea without ice. They say, what? It's not iced tea, it's tea, just warm tea. You even throw it away. When you've drank your tea for a few minutes, you say, no, it's too warm. Microwave it. And you drink it. Of course, it tastes very different after that. But what is the point? If you cannot even take warm, now you think Jesus takes warm. And this was the exact position of Elijah on Mount Carmel. He said, look, you people, you have a form of godliness, but you deny the power. So decide which way you want. You have the right hallelujahs. You have the right language. You speak Christianese. But do you live Christianese? God looks at the heart. Can the fire fall over your life? And that's the key. Can the fire fall over your life? You see, because today many of us, we have all the right languages, and nobody can literally look at somebody else and say you're a Christian or you're not a Christian except by our actions. But many of us, we have done very well to camouflage so that outwardly we look very righteous and very holy. However, Elijah understood. Jesus knew. How long will you fall? Remember, we talked a little bit about this last week when we're dealing with the issue of grace, about how many people abuse this matter of grace. But that's not my point today. I just wanted you to look at this. that if the fire of God is going to fall, and last week we were talking about how we will come and talk about the fire of God falling in our lives. There has to be a settlement over this matter. If bow, follow bow. Who is the bow of today? Bow is still very alive and well today. Very alive and well today. It's very alive and well. The gods that we follow today, that are not God, that are not God. These are the bows of today. Because remember, the bow is idolatry. Idolatry. Jeroboam, the sin that he caused Israel to fall in was what? Was idolatry. And that is the thing that displeased God. And that is why God said, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods but me. You shall not serve idols, nor shall you bow down to them. Why? For I am a jealous God. I am a jealous God. Hallelujah, somebody. Praise the Lord. So, now look at this. That is why Elijah, in verse 37, began to say, these people need to know that you are the Lord God. And how are they going to know? The only way they will know is when the fire falls on the sacrifice. He says, Lord, hear me. Let them know that everything I've done is according to your word. And by the fire falling, the people will respond and know that you are God. 1 Kings 18:37. Put it up for me. That they may know that you are God. Now, tie these things. What happened earlier? They did not answer him. And now Elijah understood that these people are neither hot nor cold. But he says the only way they can get to a place where they make a choice, either to follow Baal or to follow me, is when your fire falls. Now, where is the fire falling? The fire is falling on the... Thank you for the two people. Where is the fire falling? On the sacrifice. Which means that the fire, that for people to know that God is God, and for people's hearts to be turned to him, back to him, meaning we were there and we've moved away. Remember, new beginnings is a time of a fresh start. Our hearts have moved away, and now we are coming back. The fire does not fall on everyone. Look at somebody and tell them, the fire does not fall on everyone. Where was this fire supposed to fall? On the sacrifice. Huh? Where was this fire supposed to fall? On the sacrifice. Was it supposed to fall on the people? No. Was it supposed to fall on everyone? No. So the fire of God will only fall on a person that says, according to Romans 12 verse 1, I have become a living sacrifice. Remember the message in the second week? I have become a living sacrifice. So if you want to turn people to God, if you want to become an agent of change, number one, you must raise an altar. Number two, you must be a living sacrifice. Number three, you must understand the grace of God. Number four, you must be soaked in the presence and power of God, rather in the Holy Spirit and in the Word of God. And number five, you must have the fire of God in you. Only then will people look at the fire that is burning and say, this is God. So you find that we go through these processes, but the fire has not fallen on our lives. Because when the fire falls, what happens? The fire burns the sacrifice. The fire consumes the sacrifice. The fire licks up the stones. The fire, which means you are no longer you. You are gone. You are dead. Not only were you just killed, but now you have been burnt. Completely gone, charred, meaning your life is dead, 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 D-E-A-D, dead. D-E-A-D, dead. Or is it D-E-D, dead? No. D-E-A-D, dead, dead, dead.
gone. So if you are dead, if you are gone, can there arise again anything in you that will be contrary to the things of God? Lord, prepare to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. God cannot do it except the sacrifice has been burnt. Except you are dead. Listen, friends, when God comes over your life and licks your life up by his fire, listen, a child of God, where the fire has fallen, will refuse compromise. Will refuse compromise. However attractive things may be, you will refuse compromise. Listen, child of God. Elijah said, how long will you falter between two opinions? It is very interesting that we are going to a place now where even the mainstream, I want to say this very carefully, there was a time when we discounted the fire of God. All we said was, all you need is the word. All you need is the word. All you need is the word. And many of us, we grew up in those settings where you are told all you need is the word. I want to say this carefully, because I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. All you need is the word. And let me say this. You find that every time there was manifestations of the Holy Spirit, they are suppressed. Because we are not a people of such confusion. We're a people of the word. So you find that in the process of time, there were groups of people that emerged. Groups that just said, as we are of this word, and others who said we are of the word, or we are of the Holy Spirit and the word. But today, lo and behold, it has been realized that the people who just said all we need is the word, they have now realized that yes, the Holy Spirit comes to bring you to a place of salvation. But Paul clearly said, for the kingdom of God is what? Is not in word, but in power. So you cannot just have the word, you also need the power or the fire. Because when we talk about the fire, it is symbolic of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then the people that just said, as we are just spirit, they realized that they became now confusion, because there was no word to regulate. And so now they are also now saying, hey, wait a minute. It is not just ra-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. We also need the word of God to bring us to a place of regulation. So what is happening? Because God, friends, is coming. And his body cannot be disjointed. He is now bringing these groups together. Why? Because you need the word and you need the power. You need the Holy Spirit. I think it was John Wesley who said, Lord, this was his prayer. He said, Lord, set me on fire and let me burn so that the whole world can watch me burn. And we all know the impact of John Wesley in England. If you don't know, go and read. You are part of the reason you are seated here today. Understand, friends. If all you want is to be a living sacrifice with no fire, you cannot be a living sacrifice. You'll be a dead sacrifice. Dead, dead, dead. Because it is a fire that makes alive. Listen, friends. Elijah, he said, let the people see. What? Let the people see the fire. When the people see the fire, they will know. Their hearts will be turned to you. So something happens when somebody is on fire. Something happens when fire is on somebody. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So what happened when the fire fell? In verse number 38, Let's go to verse number 38. Then the fire did what it did. Whose fire? The fire of the Lord. Now go to verse number 39. Verse number 39. Look at this. Now when all the people saw it. What did they see? They saw verse 38. Now the people saw it. What was the it? Let's go to verse 38 to understand what they saw. The people saw the fire of the Lord falling. They saw the fire consuming the sacrifice. They saw that the wood, the dust, and the stones and the dust was also consumed. And they saw that the water dried up. When they saw that, they said, whoa! Verse 39. They said, wow! The Lord, He is God. Remember, He said, if the Lord is God, follow Him. If Baal is God, follow Him. The people answered not a word. They look at you. You say, come to Jesus, come. They answer you not a word. Because they are looking at you. They are waiting to see the fire in your eyes. He is God. He is God. And Elijah says, now that you know, gather the prophets and it is time for a slaughter. Let me take you. You see, the people always respond to the fire of God. Now, mind you, the fire of God falls in different dimensions. The fire of God falls in judgment. We see it in Sodom and Gomorrah. The fire of God fell to bring judgment. The fire of God comes to bring you to a place of proper alignment. We see the burning bush with Moses bringing him into alignment. So the fire of God comes in different dimensions. We see the Bible saying that fire and brimstone will fall. Jesus was talking about that in the end times. Again, we see that for what? For judgment. So friends, but also the fire of God comes for power, for the presence. Because when Moses appeared at that place of alignment, it was a fire that drew him there. And from there, he walked away in the presence and power of God. When we see on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell, the Holy Ghost fell symbolically. The Bible says what? That as tongues of fire. As tongues of fire. So we see the Holy Spirit coming down as fire in the lives of people. The Bible tells us that the word of God is a fire. Jeremiah, he said, when I refused to go out and talk about the prophecies that God was giving me, I stopped telling them the Bible. When the word was shut at me, he said it was like fire in my bones until I could not, stop. I just had to talk. Okay? So, the fire of God, when it comes over you, something happens. When the fire of God comes over you, the people declare He is God. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 1. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 1, something happened. Solomon was praying, but in 2 Chronicles chapter number 6, this was at the dedication of the temple. At the dedication of the temple, what did they do? There were sacrifices, and then they began to pray. And now, remember, what happened in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 38. Or 37, Elijah did what? Prayed. Can fire fall if there's no prayer? What happened? Elijah prayed. And here, again, what happened? When Solomon had finished praying, what happened? Fire came down from heaven. And what did the fire do? Again, consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices. And what happened when the fire fell? The glory of the Lord filled it. We are looking for glory. We are looking for power. We are looking for presence. But is the fire of God in your life? Is the fire of God falling over your life? You are a living sacrifice, but is the fire falling in your life? As a church, is the fire falling in the life? You see, because somebody was saying, Pastor, you, let me shut up. We have become so used to consumer Christianity. We have become so used to material Christianity to such a level that God cannot move in our midst. Because all we know for God is a casino machine. All we know for God is a God of breakthrough. He's a God of this. And we have located all the scriptures about breakthrough in the Bible. Nothing wrong with that. However, what about the scriptures that talk about the presence and power of God that enables the life of breakthrough that is never broken? It is time in this year of new beginnings for the child of God, at least in Agape, to begin to say, Lord, let your fire fall over my life. Let me walk in right standing with you, that by virtue of the fire over my life, people will come to know that you are God. That is key, friends. Trust me. All the material things that you have, even the things you say these are the blessings of God. Yes, part of the blessings of God is demonstrated in material wealth. And we see that in the Bible. But also part of the blessings of the devil is demonstrated in material wealth. So you have to be very careful what you have. Is it from God or is it from the devil? You have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. Understand this, that where the fire of God is falling, there can never fail to be a demonstration of the hand of God. It can never fail. And look at this. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. I love verse number 2. When the glory of the Lord filled the temple, something happened. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord. Because of what? Because of the glory. Verse 3. Look at that. Let's read together. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures. Now, look at this. What did they see? When the children of Israel saw how the fire came down. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38. When the people saw it, what did they see? How the fire came down and how they consumed the sacrifice. There was a response. What did they see here? The fire came down. They saw the glory of God. Oh, what happened? Did anybody begin to say, hallelujah, hallelujah, come on, let's pray. Because the fire is not falling in our lives. That is why when we come into the house of God, we have to be cajoled. It's kind of like a car that starts. Why? Because you always have to be warmed up. When the fire of God is in your life, when you show up in the presence of God, you don't have to wait for anybody to tell you, lift your hands. You don't. You don't have to wait for somebody to say, oh, why aren't you with me? Why? By yourself, the glory of the Lord has filled you. By yourself, you and yourself, I, me, and myself, bringing myself in the house of God. I, me, myself, begin to lift up my hands and begin to worship God. Not because I have been cajoled, but because the fire has fallen over my life. I don't bow my face to the ground because I've seen 3 people bowing their face to the ground. I bow my face to the ground because the fire of God is on my life. I don't worship and praise God because it is expected in church to do that. It's so amazing. I went to this church. It wasn't this church. And the praise team man was saying, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And I looked around. I was the only amen. I said, even the pastor didn't say amen. I said, oh, we're in trouble here. And the guy said, you people. The guy was upset because the people were just like this. Just like you are right now. The only difference is I'm preaching. I'm not singing. They may not tell you. Pastor Ziva will not tell you. Brother K will not tell you. But I'm sure they feel it in their heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They feel it. They will not say it. They'll just pretend and say, it is well, it is well. Then they hear three amens this side. You find they even move. They say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I know somebody's going to say, look, Pastor, I am not like that. See, I was brought up calm, cool, and collected. Let me help somebody. When the fire of God comes over your life, forget your cool, calm, collectedness. When the power of God manifests in your life, life changes. Ah, yeah, yeah. How do I know this? The Bible tells me that when David brought the temple, David brought the ark of the Lord. The Bible says he even removed his outer clothing, jumping up and praying. He didn't care who was there. The last time I checked the Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. The Bible says with a shout of victory. I didn't hear with I don't know how you say shout without opening your mouth. With a of victory. No, no, Pastor, you don't understand. The way I grew up, it is difficult for me to, you know, to be spontaneous. It is difficult. I think it will be very difficult for you when you go to heaven. It will be very difficult because the last time I checked in heaven, there is no folding of hands. The last time I checked in heaven, we were told 24/7, they do what we practice here, worshiping and praising God. I would rather be a fool for Jesus today, knowing I'm on his side, than be in with the crowd that is with bow. Now, I'm not saying because you are not spontaneous, you are not on fire. No. But the last time I checked the response in the Bible, you show me where the fire fell and the response that was there did not touch others. Acts chapter 2. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit fell, these people who were afraid, what happened? In the book of Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up boldly. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I forgot we started 30 minutes ago. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Verse 2. Let's read together. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. What were they seeing? Fire. But it was not fire, it was as of fire. What did Moses see? A burning bush, but a bush not burning. Are you seeing that? What am I seeing? Fire. So, symbolism of fire, because in my natural self cannot comprehend. Listen, the Bible says that Jesus, look at the description of our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. The Bible says that he is fire. He is fire. So it's symbolism of the presence and power of God. And he says, as of fire, and one sat upon them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, find me the scripture when Peter stood up and began to preach. The Bible says that Peter, the same guy that ran away from a little slave girl, the same guy that couldn't even sit around, the Bible says they were afraid. These people were afraid even to walk about. But when the fire came, what did they do? Peter standing up and begins to do what? To preach. He begins to preach. And in verse 38, Acts 2:38, the Bible says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now go back to verse 37. Why is Peter telling them this? Look at verse 37. Let's read together. Now when they heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Remember, these are the people that said, "Crucify him." So what changed their position from "crucify him" to "what shall we do"? What changed Peter's position from being a man who is afraid and hiding to a man who is bold and preaches the good news? Something happened on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, what's that song? Fire fell on, as on the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Fire, 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 a fire fall on me, as on the day. Why am I singing that? Because as on the day of Pentecost, fire fell and changed Peter and the apostles' lives. And life changed in people's lives. I've shown you at least three places, and I've taken all this time to show you that the sacrifice where there is no fire is as good as no sacrifice. But a sacrifice that has fire will change lives. So, Pastor, that is Old Testament. We are looking at New Testament now. We're looking at New Testament. So, the fire of God fell in the Old Testament. The fire of God fell in the New Testament. All for one purpose. For lives to be changed. For yokes to be destroyed. For bondages to be broken. For burdens to be removed. For the glory of the Lord to be seen. Will you let the fire of God fall over your life? The choice is yours. How long will you falter between two opinions? The fire is not going to fall except you make that choice. That choice that only you can make. Nobody else but you. Amen. Eight things. Number one, for the fire to fall, there must be undivided focus. God must be number one without compromise. Number two, have faith in God. Your attitude and your confidence must be visible. Number three, we must draw closer to God. Number four, understand that it takes work. If you're a stranger to work, you'll be a stranger to God's presence. Number five, the seed is the word. The fire will fall on the sacrifice that has been transformed by the word of God. Because water is symbolic of the word of God. Number six, God will manifest his presence, not for show, but to turn the hearts of his people back to him. Number seven, when the fire falls on your life, it will be evident. And people will know that God is with you and they will acknowledge him. The last one, number eight, when people's hearts are turned back to God, every false god and every imposter king must be deposed in your life. When the fire falls, friends, we will not be able to contain it. Let your prayer be, Lord, let the fire fall on my life. God bless you.